This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yes, sir. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie, and we'll be here for the next 3 hours talking Football Friday stuff with you. Woolchuck has his top 10 coming up at 4:20. Inside that segment, I believe Chief is going to try to break his record of chicken wings in a three-minute time frame. Your record's 15, Chief?
Records 15, okay. Set about, what, 6 weeks ago or so?
Yeah.
B-dubs in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
Trying to level up.
You're going at least 16. He's calling his shot, and if you swing on by, you can join us for some fellowship as Nick Harris, Cowboys writer, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joins us now in the Nation. And a good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing wonderful. A couple years ago, Brian and I tried to tell people that the only hope the NFC had was if McCaffrey got hurt, okay? We weren't hoping for it, but San Francisco got mad at us nonetheless. We kind of had a point, I think. These guys are a lot more beatable than the last couple of times we saw them. Did the Cowboys have enough to take advantage of it, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, you look at how banged up the 49ers are on both sides of the ball, not just to McCaffrey. I mean, I guess unfortunately for the Cowboys' case, the McCaffrey injury really hasn't cost them that much because Jordan Mason has just been running with a purpose. He has the most broken tackles in the league. He has the most yards after contact in the league. He's done a really good job filling in that role so far. But you look at some other holes that they've had, especially in that skill group. Deebo Samuel battling pneumonia this week. George Kittle battling that sprained foot. Brandon Ayuk obviously out for the season. I mean, they're going to have to figure out some things in that skill group. And, you know, looking at it on film, it doesn't look like Brock Purdy is comfortable with any of his weapons just yet as far as pushing the ball downfield. The only guy that I would be scared of more than 15 yards downfield, if I'm looking at it from the Cowboys' perspective, is George Kittle. Other than that, the timing, the rhythm has really been off between Purdy and those skill guys. I think if that continues into Sunday night, then it'll give the defense a little bit of an edge, a defensive group that is still battling injuries in their own right.
Our defense is starting to get a handle on what the Niners are trying to do to them. What do you attribute that to?
Let's say that one more time.
Our defense is figuring out how to kind of slow down Shanahan's offense?
I think it's more so the health. I think it's really that. And you look at what Shanahan has done so well and what these Shanahan offenses have done so well over the course of the last few years. They're still sticking to that bread and butter, and they are still finding success with it. I think it's more so an execution thing with their guys. They haven't had a healthy start to the season. They had a receiver who wasn't at training camp for most of the time in Brandon Ayuk. So they're battling a lot of the similar problems that Dallas has been battling early in the year. And I think it's also just kind of attributed to lack of execution.
Nick Harris here with you, Star-Telegram on 105.3 The Fan. So the Cowboys are not getting healthy, right? I mean, Micah Bland most likely out.
Correct. Those two guys will be out. It looks like Kalen Carson will be able to return and at least fill in that role that Deron Bland has been missing out on through this first portion of the season. But I also wonder if maybe they would toy with the idea of starting Amani Oruwariye over Carson. But I think those would be two options for those guys.
Nick, what was some of the scuttlebutt around the Star this week with the tours and whatnot and that article that came out? I know everybody was asked about it, but what did you find out? Was it more of an eye roll, or what do you think?
Yeah, mostly more of an eye roll, and I guess it kind of depends on who you talk to, too. But even, like, some players that even were like, yeah, sometimes they get in the way, but, like, it's not that big of a deal. That was kind of what the message was throughout the week in the locker room. But whenever you talk to other people around the building, it's just it's business as usual. And once you get in that building, you kind of have a way of getting used to things and a routine of things. Coming from experience, I've had to walk through those tours many a time. And this might be me just kind of theorizing, but it felt like the day after that article came out that there were about double the tours that were there the previous day. So I think they're only just hammering it further home.
No, you're probably right. Jerry alluded to that this morning, that probably helped the tours at the Star as well. Nick, I do want to ask about, like, Dalvin Cook. We didn't get the confirmation from Stephen Jones, but it seems like he's trending to probably go on Sunday. Do you have any idea how the rest of the running back room would look like on game day? Does that mean Deuce Vaughn stays inactive? Does it mean maybe an inactivity for one Ezekiel Elliott even?
Yeah, I think Deuce Vaughn remains inactive regardless. As far as the Ezekiel Elliott question, I think that's certainly a possibility. I haven't talked to anybody who's alluded to that. That hasn't really been a question I've asked as far as, okay, if Dalvin Cook is activated, who's getting pulled away? But you could also look at the fact that John Stevens Jr. can get moved to IR, so that's another roster spot that they will have. Granted, that's not an active game day roster spot, but it'll just allow them a little bit more flexibility this week if they do decide to move on with Cook and activate him for Sunday's game. But I anticipate a couple of roster moves tomorrow that'll give us more clarity in that way.
Nick, Jerry talking about play calling and play design earlier this week. How'd you receive that? Is that a sign maybe he's fed up with Mike, or reading too much into that?
I don't believe so. Those guys are still having weekly meetings, and from Mike's perspective, at least what he's alluded to the media, is that, you know, those meetings are still open and they are still transparent. So I think it's more so a reflection of what they've been talking about in those meetings. And we look at it on the surface. McCarthy is a little bit more guarded with the media than Jerry is. And I think Jerry was just being a little bit more honest than McCarthy has been to the media. You know, McCarthy may be trying not to show that there's too much bad that they saw in the self-evaluation from the first trimester of the season, that he likes to call it. Whereas Jerry, you know, he was a little bit more honest about it, saying there was bad concepts, bad plays. We need to be able to find ways to get these guys more open. I think for me, if you look at it and you're understanding, hey, how can we get CeeDee Lamb open? How can we get Jalen Tolbert open? All these guys, I think they just need to be more physical in their route running. I mean, I've been talking about it on the break with Brian. I mean, this is a receiving core that has to be able to throw their weight around. You know, we talk about CeeDee Lamb adding this weight during the offseason. He said it was extra armor for him. Well, we haven't really seen that show up yet. So I would like to see that extra physicality from CeeDee, whether that be at the line or downfield in route running.
Do you think there's any chance that they miss the playoffs and Mike's back?
Oh, no. I don't believe so. I mean, given how everything shook out in the week after the season ended last year, and how much anticipation there was kind of around Mike's job status at that point, and at that point they went 12-5 and were a number two seed in the playoffs, granted a really bad embarrassment in the first round, but I don't see a reality where he's back if they do not make the playoffs.
Nick, I can give you one fix coming out of the bye. It's either you're going to play really good run defense in this game, or you're going to be better in the red zone on offense. Which way are you going?
I would go run defense on run defense. I think if they can show what they did against New York and part of what they showed against Pittsburgh, if they can keep that going over the course of the last 11 weeks of the season, then you'll eventually be able to find some red zone opportunities that'll cash in. And it's, you do have a kicker who, you know, on his free time serves on a jury, but he's still automatic on the football field. Last time I checked.
Yeah, what's the latest on Brandon Aubrey and the jury duty?
Yeah, actually, just got information on that I'll be posting here shortly. So they will not have to go back into court on Monday for this case. They will have closing arguments on Tuesday. So this means that Brandon Aubrey will be able to land with the team on Monday morning after traveling to San Francisco. He'll be able to participate in meetings and everything on Monday. And then Tuesday is the player's day off. And with it being closing arguments on Tuesday, maybe Tuesday will be the last day that he has to serve on this jury. But we'll find out more next week.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, here with you on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Is there hope for winning next year, Nick?
Yeah, I think so. And you look at the young core of this team. You look at the guys that they have had consistently in the building. I think Dak, CD, Micah, that core right there, and assuming that they do go ahead and pony up and pay Micah here over the offseason, this team still has talent. It still has all-pro talent on both sides. I think overall, this team just needs to get more physical. And whether that starts with, you know, the identity, the culture that's built up front, or whether that's changing things with practice during the week, which they're trying this week. Mike McCarthy said earlier today that it was one of the best practices that he had yesterday with the team. So we'll see if that maybe translates. But overall, I think that's been the bigger problem towards this team finding success over the last couple of seasons. I mean, you look at the 9 losses that they've had over the course of the last 2 seasons. It's tough to find more than maybe 1 or 2 that you could not attribute to the fact of them just not being physical. You think of the Buffalo game last year, the Green Bay game last year, Miami, Arizona, on and on. This year, Baltimore, New Orleans, they just need to be a more physical team. I think they have the talent in place. I think these guys just kind of need to pony up a little bit.
Nick, do you have any expectation that there will be a similar obvious change, particularly offensively, post-bye like there was last year? Or do you expect it to all look very similar? Just please, just run the routes better and block better.
Yeah, I think there will be some changes coming out of this bye. I mean, Mike McCarthy spent every day in the office going over self-evaluation stuff, not only with himself and the offensive play calling, but with his offensive personnel. I think Dalvin Cook potentially playing on Sunday is just one layer of what I think will be a multifaceted approach that'll be a little bit different than what we saw before the bye week. And Dak and CD, they were able to get some time in during the bye week as well. So, yeah, I do anticipate a little bit of change. Will it be successful? I don't know. We're going to have to see what that looks like on Sunday night. But overall, I think we're going to see a few things that are a bit different than what we saw in the first six games.
Do you have any updates on Brandon Cooks and what that timeline's looking like?
Yeah, it's looking like he will be ready to go whenever his IR stint is up, which he will have to miss at least through the Atlanta game next week. But it's starting to come along really well over the course of the last week. He was actually on the practice field working with a rehab group earlier this week. I anticipate him being ready to go whenever his four games are done.
It's Nick Harris from the Star Telegram here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, you know, kind of back to my previous question about winning next year, I look at the last two drafts and I wonder, you know, how much of a young talent this, you know, this team can kind of say they have a foundation built on. You know, when you miss that many times in a row, when the Cowboys have done well in the Dak window, it was immediately after drafting Zeke. It was immediately after drafting Micah Parsons. And now I think the window has closed because of their results in the first two rounds of the last 2 years.
Yeah, I see your point there for sure. But I think they've been able to use this 2022 draft class and really kind of extend that talent out. I mean, you look at the guys that they brought in that year, Tyler Smith, Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson. I mean, all these guys have been able to contribute at a high level. And I think whenever you saw the inability of the 2023 class to succeed, it eventually kind of balanced out. And then now we're starting to just see what this 2024 class can put forward. You know, I said it at the very beginning with Tyler Guyton. I was like, man, this is a guy with only 14 starts under his belt on the offensive line in his entire football career. There are going to be lumps and bruises all along. You know, even after that first really good practice he had back in Oxnard, it was still, the kind of the message was still at that point, hey, we're going to take our highs, we're going to take our lows, but we're going to stay right in the middle with this guy. And I think that's what they're continuing to do. I think right now we're just starting to see a low, but I'm sticking to my draft evaluation of the guy and saying that I think after maybe a year or two, we probably won't look up and see him as one of the better tackle options from that draft class. But I think if we look up in 4 years, I think he'll be getting that fifth-year option, and he'll be one of the safer first-round picks that we look back on. But you look at Marshawn Nealand, he just needs to get back from injury. I think the jury is still out, or the verdict is still out on this 2024 class. Maybe Brandon Aubrey can help us come to a verdict.
Maybe he can.
Love it.
High school football, we had a crazy ending in Frisco last night. Of course, Kyle Yeoman's on the call. We'll get to, I think we'll hear some of that audio a little bit later. But what do you think about tonight's landscape in the Texas high school football world?
Yeah, I'm really excited about a few games tonight. Prosper and Allen, I think that'll be a fun one. Allen has kind of gotten back on the right track this season, undefeated here approaching November for what it feels like the first time in a couple of years, which is wild to say about Allen. But Prosper will probably be the best challenge that they get here this in the district play. And that's a really tough district. I mean, they have the McKinney schools in that area. Princeton has made the jump up to a 6A this past season. So there's a lot of different things that are kind of going into that. Louisville and Hebron. Hebron having Patrick Creighton's son at quarterback, which has been a fun story to kind of track over the course of the year. And then Lovejoy and Walnut Grove. Walnut Grove, one of the newer schools here in DFW, going up against Todd Dodge and the powerhouse that is Lovejoy. So that'll be a fun one, too.
Thank you so much, Nick. Enjoy your football weekend. We'll catch up with you real soon.
Yeah, y'all have a great one, fellas. See you.
There he goes. Nick Harris, Star Telegram, with you here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Eric's Chicken Wing Eating Challenge is now just minutes away, right?
Yes, we're going to do it. Yes, I'm starving. I'm ready.
Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20 coming up next. What's the subject matter, bud?
Well, it's National Greasy Food Day. And if you're about to crush some chicken wings, perfect. Why not do the Top 10 Greasy Foods? What's your favorite greasy food? That's next in the nation.